Hello, people. Welcome to the Donut Century Podcast. Donut Century Podcast. Because we had donuts before this. We normally have donuts before.
Yeah, like 10 minutes ago.
We almost considered eating them on the podcast. So that, hence the weird intro. But
still feel like I have the crumbs on my beard.
I know. I can still feel it in my teeth and it's really gross.
Yeah.
Anyways, episode 15. We are here. 15th episode.
Damn.
Yeah. We're going to talk about things as normal. We never have a solid intro for the show.
No.
It's great. It's always so free form. I never rehearsed this. I'm sure that you can tell. So we are going to be starting a new show. It's not a live show, at least not yet, but we're going to be doing a show recapping one of our favorite shows.
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Hey, we just recorded it last night. So it'll be out in a little bit, in like maybe a week or so, maybe less, who knows, but look forward to that. Just giving our quick thoughts on the Mandalorian and the episodes as they go on. So yeah, we're excited to talk about that, and hopefully you'll see it soon. But let's talk about the Mandalorian for a second. We're not going to talk about like spoilers, right? We're going to keep it fairly spoiler free. If you want the spoiler like review essentially, then that'll be in those recap videos, but for the most part we're going to keep our opinions and stuff off of the podcast. The one thing I did want to say though is that I love this show. I think it's great. It is if you are a Star Wars fan, you need to watch it. It's worth the like $6 or $7 a month for Disney Plus just to watch this show, at least to me.
Yeah, it's really, really good. The storytelling, like it is slower paced, but that's only because it's a show. It's the first season. They're just building it up over time, but the directing, the cinematography, it's really, really well done. The characters, you don't get exposed to a whole lot of characters, but you know, the Mandalorian, he's really, really cool. Definitely a big badass. You know, he doesn't, you know, mess with anybody. That, well, let me rephrase that. People shouldn't mess with him because he definitely knows how to handle himself. A one man army kind of thing. And then, yeah, I'm really looking forward to how the rest of the season plays out now, especially what happened at the end of episode 3. So, yeah, that's my vague thoughts on that.
Yeah, we're 3 episodes in. I think there's only 8 episodes. I'm kind of sad that it's like, oh, it's actually a really short season, which we kind of knew going into it, but I don't know. I think it would be awesome as a longer form series. There's a lot of cool lore stuff in there. Like, so if you're more of a hardcore Star Wars fan, if you want to call yourself that, there's definitely a lot of cool stuff in here, and just a lot of awesome stuff about like the Mandalorian culture, which a lot of people might be curious about. So that's as far as I think we're going to go on our opinions. We love it. Go watch it. It's great. But kind of moving on from that, something similar is just kind of Disney Plus, because Disney Plus launched after our last podcast, which was like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, I'm really happy with it. I think it's great. I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, when it first came out, I was really excited because I was finally going to be able to watch a lot of my childhood cartoons like Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers. Thanks for covering my shot, man.
I totally forgot that like your camera's right there.
Terrible.
Because I'm trying to monitor the live stream and
you
like
threw off my
to
groove.
It. I know. Now it's a clip, but yeah, I'm just trying to monitor the live stream, and so I didn't even think to. Cause I was trying to get away from the microphone so that way like the audio from the stream wouldn't bleed into, you know, the thing that's going on now.
Yeah.
So keep talking, Dom.
Okay. But yeah, so then the first show I started watching was X-Men. See, there you go.
There it is.
I started watching the X-Men animated series that came out in the 90s. I've never seen that show before. I knew it existed as a kid, but I never really saw it. I don't know if it was like on Kids WB or Fox 26 Kids back in those days. The main gripe I had with it was just that not with the show, but with the way Disney Plus launched everything, was some of these shows are out of order, and I don't know if it's in the order in terms of like how they were released or production release. So like, you know how Clone Wars, those episodes are out of order in terms of like how the story plays
right
out. That's kind of how the X-Men series is. Like, it starts off like with the clear start of the series. Like, they introduce Jubilee as a character, and I th- and then it goes into like this other part of the storyline. It's like, wait, really? They're already introducing this character? Like, what happened? But then, like, the very, like, I think second or third day since its launch, people were like, oh, yeah, Disney Plus, like, X-Men animated series is out of order. And then other people started discovering, hey, you know what? I think The Simpsons are out of order. Some other shows were really out of order. So, like, there's no really real reason why that is. I'm hoping Disney Plus fixes that. And then another feature that they finally added was a resume watching button. Because what I had to do was, I thought, oh yeah, just like Netflix, play, hit play, starts the next episode or the episode you left off on. No, it literally starts from the whole season, like from the very beginning. So I had to manually remind myself, okay, which episode was that on? Okay, I need to find it and then scrub through where I last left. Now it's resume watching. So that's I'm surprised they didn't add that feature from the get-go. It just made sense to do it like that.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of series on Disney Plus at the moment. Except the only one that I have watched is Star Wars Resistance, because I hadn't watched that. And I kind of just watched it for canon reasons, just to kind of catch up on like what's happening. But so I haven't really seen a lot of those issues. But I mean, it's a new streaming service with as much content as Disney has. Yeah, there's going to be problems. I mean, the launch itself was kind of a mess from what I heard. You know, like I didn't stay up like right when it launched. I waited until like the next morning. But even then, I was having some issues watching, trying to watch The Mandalorian, of course.
Well, and luckily, those bugs have been fixed already. Like those main ones where like you couldn't access your account or things just didn't load properly. Like that was fixed within the first day, thankfully. And then saw The Mandalorian like the later that evening when on the launch day. So it was like that was fine. You know. But then, I've saved a bunch of other shows I just can't wait to watch. I just hope they rearrange the episodes in their proper order. Because if not, I don't know, it kind of makes Disney look bad. It's like, you're not going to take the effort to fix this. It may seem like a small detail, but it could be a big one for the fans of these respective shows.
I'm sure that they will. I think it is just like a weird technical issue for whatever reason. I'm not too surprised, to be honest. Like, if anything, I think there should have been more issues with Disney Plus, to be honest. Because except for like that first day and some of the issues that you've mentioned, it's like it's gone pretty like seamlessly for me thus far, anyways.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching it mainly on the web browser, like on a computer, not really on the app. I have Fire Stick, and that's the Fire Stick has been working out pretty well. Website's pretty seamless, but I guess the app users on a phone might experience the most problems.
Yeah, well, funny enough, actually the mobile version worked better in terms of like The Mandalorian, because when The Mandalorian, the new episodes come out, like I was looking on my phone and I saw the new episode at like 12:05 or something a.m. And then when I went on the app on our Fire Stick, it wasn't there. But funny enough, when I played it on my phone and stopped it and then went on to the app on the Fire Stick, TV, it let me play the episode even though it wasn't listed under the episodes category. So kind of a weird workaround, but it worked. So,
There you go.
Yeah, but overall, I think it's great. We've been watching the Imagineering story, like the kind of documentary about Disneyland and like Walt Disney. It's really good. I actually didn't know initially that it was going to be a series. I thought it was going to be like just a one-off documentary film, basically. But it's a full-on series, new episodes every Tuesday, I think.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I knew on launch day it was just one episode, but I didn't pay too much attention to it. But I'm like, oh, this is an interesting thing to watch at some point. Let's see what else other stuff. Was it the actor's name? Jeff Goldblum? He has his own series out too.
Yeah, I totally forgot what it's called. I want to say Through the Eyes of Jeff Goldblum or something like that.
Yeah, like he travels the world or something kind of thing. Like, it's an interesting concept. I don't know if I'll watch it, but it's an interesting concept of what he's doing in the show.
Yeah.
You don't see too much of that.
There's a headline that I read about. I didn't read the article, so just the headline, but Disney is planning to add more adult content to Disney Plus, or like adult-friendly content. So less of, because Disney Plus right now is a lot of like children's movies and shows, which makes sense because it's Disney,
right?
You know, but there's not a lot of like a more adult-centered content, you know.
I guess the farthest thing you'll probably find is The Simpsons. Some people were telling me, like, oh, I'm surprised The Simpsons is on a Disney thing, and they didn't realize that Simpsons was part of Fox, and Fox, at least that entertainment side, is now owned by Disney. So, of course, it's on there. Then the biggest issue with with The Simpsons is that they forced the first, 19, 20 seasons into a 16:9 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
And so it cuts out a lot of the visual gags of whatever happens, right? Like, it doesn't kill the episode, but it's like it kills some of those jokes, if assuming you know what they are. But then I saw the side-by-side comparison, like, oh, yeah, I can see how this is going to be a problem for the joke. But then they announce early next year that they're going to fix that, at least for the first maybe 15 or so seasons that they're going to offer in the original 4:3 aspect ratio. So I'm happy for that. I haven't started watching The Simpsons yet from the very beginning, but at some point I'll do it for sure.
I follow a guy on Twitter by the name of Todd Vaziri, I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. He is a compositor at ILM, I think ILM. He basically has worked on like Star Wars and like everything, the Transformers. And he posts a lot about the aspect ratio issue with The Simpsons. And he even posted I don't know if it was a DM exchange with Disney Plus or something, but basically where they said before Disney Plus launched that you were going to be able to choose. And so it's kind of disappointing that it launched and you can't choose. It's great that they're adding it later on, but it's kind of a weird thing that it would be so late, because I saw the side-by-side comparisons as well, and it's kind of a weird, like, that you would push that. Like, you kind of took away a main portion of the show by pumping it into that aspect ratio. But yeah. I guess that's just maybe a comment on the modern television viewer who really doesn't care and doesn't, you know, it's just like, oh, I want it to fill my whole TV, and, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, let's say you're a post-millennial, right? Whatever that is, Gen Z or whatever that's after us. You know, they probably didn't grow up watching The Simpsons in a 4:3 aspect ratio. So, like, it's not going to kill it for them. They're going to think it's funny as it is. But with the older audiences, like, no, like, this is how it was. You know, again, it could be a generational thing, but it won't affect everybody. But it is an issue that I think should be addressed at some point or another, like, if you're able to offer it in a 4:3 ratio, why won't you do it? And great that they're going to do it at some point.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes with just offering how things were in their initial state, you know, with Disney Plus, because Disney Plus is made up of a lot of legacy shows and movies, you know. That,
oh, yeah.
And so it's like retaining the you know, original state, I think, is important. Like Star Wars and the special editions and everything.
Did you hear
McClunky?
Yeah,
you
know? I was like, what? And then something about George Lucas had a hand in it. I'm like, again? Like, how much are you gonna change that scene?
Well, the story with that is he basically, they were doing like a round of 3D re-releases of all of the films.
I remember that. Yeah.
And so that was a part of that re-release. It was an edit that was going to be shown there, but I think they only showed The Phantom Menace because it was received so poorly, and they were just like, well, we're going to put these 3D plans aside for the moment. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's where that came from. It wasn't really... essentially, that's the latest version of the movie, whatever. But, yeah, you know, I don't think they're ever going to release the, you know, theatrical releases at this point. Like, George doesn't want it, and they're not going to go against that, I don't think.
So does he have still, like, a hold on the original rights to those movies?
I can't speak on what the actual, like, contract, you know, deal was, what was sold, what he retains the rights to, you know, in that way. Maybe he, you know, owns them. It's like, I am the only one allowed to do anything with these, and you can't, because then that would kind of be the end of it, you know, unless he somehow had a change of heart and Disney could get a hold of him. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, you know, he'll change his mind. I doubt it, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I still have my DVD copy of the movies.
Yeah. My dad, I think, has the VHS, so he has the originals. I should probably steal those from him, because he's like, yeah.
I still remember that there's a stormtrooper that waves to the camera in episode 4 in the cantina scene.
Is there?
Yeah, I just remember there being a scene, and then someone had told me, like, yeah, that stormtrooper is Neil Armstrong. This is a long time ago that I was told this.
I remember that. Yes, I've heard that before too. Yeah, I remember actually putting in the VHS when I was little, and you know, I'd really only seen the special editions. And I was watching it, and I was like, this looks different. I was like, why does the title just say Star Wars? Does it say A New Hope? Like, well, that's kind of weird. And then like things were different here and there. I was like, I thought I remember this scene differently.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh wait, that's because it's literally a different movie, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I watched that 2.5 documentary that's now on Disney Plus that came out on the special edition DVD set. Just about like how it was changed back in what the late 90s, early 2000s, you know. So Star Wars was, you know, at some point was rebranded to be Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope. You know, they changed some of the scenes, the graphics were updated, and a lot of people have a beef with that. Like, I think it's just the older generation that grew up originally with the sequel trilogy. And in my opinion, it's just like George Lucas had a vision and he couldn't execute it back then, and he's trying to do it now with, or you know, then with how technology progressed. And I think that's also why he did it 4, 5, and 6 instead of 1, 2, and 3 first, because his ideas for the Clone Wars was going to be so expansive that he didn't want to do it then because he couldn't. So I think as a creator of the Star Wars, he had every right to do that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't think every change was necessarily warranted, but I also don't think that every change is pointless. Yeah. Right? Like, there's some things that I understand and I agree with. Like, for instance, in Empire Strikes Back, there's the Emperor, right? They changed that scene and, like, they changed it to Ian McDiarmid versus the old actor who was, I believe, actually a woman, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed Boba Fett's voice to Temuera Morrison.
I can't even remember how he originally sounded anymore.
It just a bit sharper. That's how I always think of it. Just a bit more aggressive, you know, than Temuera Morrison. And then there's some changes that I don't agree with, which is like the Han, you know, Han shot first, basically, thing. It's like, I think that should stay, but I understand why it was changed. I just disagree with it, yeah. You know. But yeah, maybe one day we'll get those theatrical releases. I don't know.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
I doubt it. Hey, if you got VHS, hold on to those VHSs because that's it.
Digitize them, people.
Well, and I think even the VHS isn't even the theatrical release. I think the VHS tapes are a separate one. Like, there's the one that was only seen in theaters, and then there's what was released on VHS, which was slightly modified. That might be the first time they modified Jabba to be from a human to like a really terrible CGI slug.
I can't remember what he originally looked like either. I just remember now the special edition of the CGI slug. In my opinion, I think he looks fine. It's not the greatest CGI compared to like modern standards, but I think back then it's fine.
I think that scene too, because excuse me, Han like walks over his tail. I think it looks a little weird when you see what they did, when you understand how they did it, where they literally just like cut out Han and like put, like keyframed him up and down to look like he's walking over the tail.
Mm.
But if you're not looking for it, I think it's okay. I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Great. Now I'm gonna have to look for that the next time I see that scene.
Yeah, it just looks really janky. It's just like his really shaky movement. Even like the Han and Greedo scene, Han's head just like honk, you know, like moves over. It's not that dramatic, but still.
You can definitely tell that scene was altered with him and Greedo. Like, I knew that was there was something different about that. It just looked off. I think that looks worse than the Jabba the Hutt scene.
Yeah, like especially when you really see it, you can point it out quite easily. But yeah. Anyways, Disney Plus. Back to that.
Right. We're off on that tangent.
They have all the Star Wars movies. I have not watched any of them yet. I basically just watched The Mandalorian and Star Wars Resistance. I haven't watched anything else. You know, I'll probably watch Clone Wars again at some point because I'm due for a rewatch, especially before season 7 comes out in February. I think is the release date.
It was originally announced for November.
It was originally November. Probably for the best that they don't release it now, because The Mandalorian and then with Rise of Skywalker, I think it would have been like way too much stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think holding it off for a little bit is good. And also, they probably just needed the time to brush up the animation, because animation's a lot of work. And so, you know, probably needed more time.
Yeah, so actually now Eric and I are watching, rewatching the Clone Wars, so where we originally left off on season three. So now we're on the part where Asajj is gonna find Savage, like to hire him on to kill Dooku. So that's where the series really gets interesting for me.
I love Savage. He's a great character.
Yep. I wish they could have done a little bit more with him, but I mean, overall, what he did as a character, I really, really liked. I was like, wow, he's like a really, beast of a character, right? But yeah, more on that, I guess, on a different episode. But I really can't wait for season seven. Oh my gosh, I remember when they revealed the announcement trailer. I'm like, okay, Clone Wars. Are they doing it? Are they doing it? Are they gonna finish episode or season six? No, they're coming out with season seven. Oh my gosh, I was so happy. I was so happy with that announcement.
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise.
They didn't announce anything. Like there was no rumors, which was surprising because.
Well, there were some rumors about like new Clone Wars stuff, but it was more just like, probably not, But yeah.
Well, I didn't hear those rumors.
I don't think there were any like major leaks about it happening or anything, so.
Yeah, because I remember Ashley Eckstein. How the hell do you pronounce her name?
Eckstein?
Eckstein, yeah. She talked about how Ben Baker, was that the guy that plays Rex? Is that his
No,
name?
D. Baker.
D. Baker, yeah. She was at Disneyland and she gets a text like, "Hey, like good news or whatever, or like it's happening." She's like, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, like don't tell anyone, but like we're gonna work on season seven now." And like she said that she went on her knees like crying because she was super happy about that. And I was like, damn, like that shows you like these actors are really emotionally tied to these stories, right? But man, I'm super thrilled. Super thrilled season seven's coming. I wish they would put more with that.
Yeah, because it's only like how many episodes is it? Do you remember? Is it 12, 6, 12,
I think
12?
it's 12.
12? It's more than the Mandalorian,
Because
so.
they're gonna do the Bad Batch arc. They're gonna do Siege of Mandalore. So that's roughly three episodes each, so that's six episodes. If you look back on Clone Wars and their story arcs, they're always about three episodes a piece. And I wonder if they're gonna do that Boba Fett one.
I would hope so, but I'm not getting my hopes up as well. Like they kind of, I guess, need to focus on wrapping up a lot of the stories that they left hanging, you know? Because they had planned, what, two or three more seasons after six. So, obviously we know they're doing Bad Batch, like you said, and then the Siege of Mandalore, which is, I think, the finale, basically, the Siege of Mandalore, most likely. But I don't know. That'd be cool if they did the Boba Fett one, because then we kind of get to know like Cad Bane and like kind of what happened after that, because they were beloved characters at that point. You know, like Cad Bane's a cool character. Boba Fett, I think it'd be cool to show how he got the armor, because in the unfinished like little animatic that they showed one year, he basically had his normal armor, his Boba Fett armor, or pieces of it at least. So it'd be interesting to maybe see how he got it, but they also might save that story for like a book or like a side story, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah, because there's another arc that's unfinished with Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Grievous, where he's stealing that giant kyber crystal. I think that would be really interesting as well to see.
I don't know if they would do that one though, because they already kind of did that in Rebels. There's already the episode with the giant kyber crystal, which I feel like was a replacement for the Clone Wars episode. It was almost like okay, well, we have this idea for the Death Star using, giant kyber crystals or whatever. So like we need to put that somewhere. And Filoni's just like, "Well, I didn't get to put it in, Clone Wars, so let's kind of put it in Rebels as a plot point." So I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if they put it in Clone Wars, but I also feel like at that point it's, we've already kind of seen something like that. So I guess kind of adding to, its origins, but how important that is for, a final season where, every episode counts. I don't know. Not for me to say.
I wonder if they'll do anything with the ones.
Maybe. I mean, they were introduced in Clone Wars, basically, so it's possible.
Because they touch it, obviously, a little bit, season four Rebels, And Ahsoka, I think, had a line like, oh, like this owl was a friend of mine or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see that kind of relationship between her and the sister. So I'm curious if like something else happens in the Clone Wars that we just never seen, you know, between her and the sister, like she comes back from the dead kind of thing, you know. I don't know. That's just me thinking about it right now.
Yeah, I'm honestly really curious how they're going to end it. Like, are they going to end it on Siege of Mandalore? Are they going to end it before Order 66? Probably after, hopefully after, so we get to see that turn. You know, is it basically... I imagine it might actually end with Ahsoka. Like, it's going to be her, you know, and that's where it's going to end. Because we kind of... You know what happens with Anakin and Obi-Wan. Like, we've seen that in the movies, so I doubt Filoni would really focus on, like, those events and, like, what they're doing. It's like, well, no, we've seen those. Let's kind of go with Ahsoka, which, yeah, you've read about it, but, you know, maybe visualizing it a bit more, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'll be very appropriate to end it on the Siege of Mandalore. I think it just gives that proper send-off to Rex, Ahsoka, and then just, like, the general public knows that what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
It's the movie.
Yeah. So I think it'll be really interesting to just see that turn. I don't know. I'm obsessed with the clones and the Clone Wars and Order 66, so I'm excited to see that, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I really want out of the new season is Order 66. Like, that's all I want to see. I will be satisfied if we get to see the clones turn and like see that happen, see the switch and see a little bit after.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will be satisfied. But I have faith in Dave Filoni.
Yeah, he's never steered us wrong, I think. On a different kind of Star Wars show that I think would be really interesting to see is a continuation of the Solo movie. Not so much like that Han has to be in it, maybe, maybe not. But I felt like the movie definitely left on a cliffhanger because there was the original idea of making it a trilogy of its own. Because now Kira is going to work with Darth Maul. And it's like, well, what happens from Siege of Mandalore, Darth Maul, right? He's in power. And then how does he get stuck on Malachor, right? That's the planet that he's on, Malachor?
Yes, I think.
Like, well, how does he get stuck there? Yeah. There's this whole theory that he probably got betrayed by Kira. He got stranded there. It's just like, I would like to see that more. And maybe the TV series, I think, would really, really work out. And then Alden Ehrenreich can come back as Han. You know, I think that would be fine. I don't see why they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do it in a movie or TV show, or if I honestly can foresee them doing it in like a comic or a book or something and like finishing it up that way. Just, I mean, even though it would probably work out fine, you know, Solo got such a mixed, I mean, overall, there was a negative opinion about Solo. So Disney might not want to go that route just because it's like, it's too much of a risk. You know? Like, which is understandable, right? I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, playing kind of like devil's advocate, it's like Solo was a big risk from the get-go because it's a different actor playing Han Solo, and we just had Han Solo played by Harrison Ford, the Han Solo. And then he dies in episode 7.
So it's spoiler.
Like, right? Too late now. But now there's a third Star Wars TV series coming. So we got Mandalorian, there's Obi-Wan. Also, there's the Cassian Andor series that's coming out. So it's like, no one really asked for that character to be brought back either. There's no demand for it. I've seen demands for a Solo, like, you know, make Solo 2 happen kind of hashtag. And I'm like, Cassian Andor, we're only going to go maybe back a couple years before Rogue One, where he finds K2SO. But we all already know what's going to happen to him. He's going to die, you know, just as much as Han Solo died in episode 7. So I'm like, well, what's the point of Cassian Andor? What more are we going to see out of this character? You know, we know he was a spy, but is he interesting enough to want that warrants that kind of a story? I think the same argument could be said for that, but they're risking it for Cassian, but not Solo.
I think that actually goes to a good point about, like, what are they going to do to make the Cassian series, which I actually completely forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do to that series to make it interesting, right? Because we know the end result of these characters. Like, there has to be some plot point that they contribute to, probably within the greater scheme of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I say that because we already have, like, we have the Mandalorian right now, which is basically the underground, you know, the underworld, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which Cassian isn't really part of the underworld, but he's part of the rebellion, and kind of the whole thing with Cassian is showing the dark side of the rebellion, like
right.
the fact that, you know, they're not innocent at all. Like they do bad things. They do what they have to do. So what? How are they gonna? Because even the Mandalorian looks like it has a plot point, which we won't go into, but that could potentially affect the greater plot of Star Wars as a
mm-hmm.
whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like this in a vacuum, you know, story basically. So what are they going to do with the Cassian series? Because right now, I mean, like, I loved Cassian as a character. I love K2SO.
They're a great duo for sure.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't know whoever's producing the series, like the lead producer, director, whatever, like whatever story they come up with, I feel like should be a damn good one, because like what we just said, we already know what's going to happen to these characters, and chances are it's only going to be a couple years before these events. What kind of story are you going to be able to tell? Solo 2 warrants more for a show or a movie sequel, because it literally left on a cliffhanger with now these two interesting characters. One that's a returning character, one is a brand new character, and then just go on from there. I think that's a more interesting story to tell than Cassian.
Yeah, because with Solo, we had a direction that we were going in. But mm-hmm. now with Cassian, we had the end point. Now we have to go to the beginning, right? Kind of figure that out. So, I don't know, man. I don't know when they're supposed to release the Cassian series. Is it next year?
I think it's next year, because I think they're already working on it.
Right.
Obi-Wan's going to come out after,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
I'll still watch Cassian. It's Star Wars.
You know,
I liked him as a character overall, but I'm just really concerned about where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, I guess just the normal concern, you know. Yeah. We'll see where they go with it.
I swear, if they ended off with, oh, we got to go find this this Imperial scientist's daughter. Okay, let's go find her.
Yeah, I think that would be a little cheap, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, moving. This has been a Star Wars centric podcast, and that was not the goal. Only one of my points was about Star Wars.
Here we go.
So, moving off of Star Wars, but still science fiction, kind of. It's not science fiction anymore, though. Doctors put a patient in suspended animation for the first time.
Saw the article on that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. Obviously, we're huge sci-fi people, so that's a huge sci-fi trope about, you know, like space travel and suspended animation. So there's a lot of potential for that, but they kind of make it clear in the article that I read that this is basically for medical purposes, which also makes a lot of sense, but it's still really cool. So basically what they did was they cooled the body. I forgot how they did it. Maybe they put something in the blood. It's probably in the article and I just forgot. But to where they slowed the heart rate down to, I mean, it's suspended animation. So basically all the bodily processes are paused, you know, but everything is still alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the brain can only go X amount of time without oxygen. But when it's frozen like this, then it essentially is just, it's just paused. Like you can kind of keep it there, right? They said that they only do it for 2 hours, and then they bring the person, they warm the body back up and bring them out of it. And they've only been doing it on people with major wounds, like gunshot wounds, and people who are basically near death and who probably wouldn't have survived otherwise.
Oh,
kind of a weird way of doing human trials, and that probably makes it sound worse than it was, but just the idea of being able to put a body on pause for even just 2 hours to perform, you know, a life-saving procedure is really cool. And they suspect that they could probably go over 2 hours, but I think they're only doing the 2 hours as a precaution, right? It's just like, just to make sure that nothing goes wrong, and so we don't kill them, right?
You know, this whole description reminds me, like, there's a facility out there that has people, like, frozen on ice, and people have always wondered, is Walt Disney one of them? And one of the representatives came out in an interview like, no, we do not have Walt Disney on ice. They have, like, I think, some sort of famous baseball player. I forgot the name of the person, but it's like, I'm like, huh, I wonder, similar to that.
Maybe. Funny enough, the Walt Disney thing that's mentioned in the Imagineering documentary.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because the Haunted Mansion, before it opened, right, they just had the mansion there, and people were wondering, like, what is this building? What's it going to be? And they were like, you know, when people get curious, they start to create theories and conspiracies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were theories that Walt Disney was being kept on ice in the Haunted Mansion, basically,
mm-hmm.
Or that's where he was buried or something. So there were a lot of tales about the Haunted Mansion. Just kind of a fun little trivia for you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, in terms of the medical procedure, I think that's a really good idea just going forward, because there are a lot of instances where it's like people only have minutes to live from a certain wound. If you can pause that, great. You know, try to give them a fighting chance. Although I'm curious, is like, are they actually entombed in some kind of ice thing, or how is it? Did it say how it's actually done?
Yeah, I don't know. It probably did, but I don't remember what the article specified. I imagine they would either, kind of put them on ice, but it would maybe not ice, because I imagine they would pump something through the bloodstream, right? Like you would pump super cooled liquid to get it throughout the entire, you know, circulatory system of the human body.
Yeah,
and then that way you can cool it down from the inside, and then just kind of keep that going. But I'm no medical professional by any means.
Because if they're on ice, there's no way that you'd be able to really to perform surgery, because ice would get in the way. You had to clear that out.
Well, yeah.
It's counterproductive in that sense. But I wonder if it's something similar to, like, did you ever see X-Men Origins?
I already talked about the Wolverine.
Yeah, where they inject his lover with that thing, and like she said, like, oh, it pumps it makes the heart rate go down, like you're dead.
Yes,
I wonder if it's like that. You know,
probably.
But because ice, it's a cool concept, no pun intended. I think it would be kind of productive. You're trying to save someone's life because you need to clear all that out. But then if they wake up, it's like how do you deal with that?
I'm pretty sure it is not a literal bed of ice that they're putting them on,
mm-hmm.
but still really cool. I read the article and I was like, really? Like, this is like the first time we've done this. Like, that's really cool. Like, this seems like a neat, maybe not a breakthrough, but kind of a breakthrough. Like, if it goes somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what are the possibilities? Even way down the line when it comes to, obviously, like I said, my head immediately goes to like space travel and that whole area. So are we going to be able to put people in suspended animation for long periods of times, essentially like indefinitely, so long as the equipment is operational, and then travel, you know, light years away over many like decades, centuries, you know, and just making sure the equipment stays running, and, you know, I don't know. It is really cool. You know, maybe Elon Musk is going to do something with that.
Right.
Speaking of Elon Musk.
Great transition.
And hopefully this will be a long topic because I have a lot to say. Elon Musk recently revealed his Cybertruck or the Tesla pickup truck. And oh boy, you've actually seen it, which I was kind of surprised about, because I feel like you're not always in tune with like the electric car stuff, you know. So
I mean, if it's a big headline thing, it's obviously going to come up on social media.
And it was a big headline thing because boy, oh boy, this design is something else.
It doesn't even look like a truck. It looks more like a tank.
It is a tank. It literally is.
I don't even know why the hell they call it a truck, but
because it has a bed in the back.
Yeah, probably with like this angular hood on top of it.
Yeah.
It definitely is something straight out of like a sci-fi movie, you know, from the future, very angular looking. Visually, though, like, I don't think a lot of people are going to buy into this at first. Not until they change the look of it.
Yeah, and Elon Musk even said that it's going to be unlike anything else,
mm-hmm.
and not a lot of people are going to, like, very few people are going to like it. Like, it's going to be for a very specific
group
person.
Of people. Yeah.
Group of people. And he was right, and I love it, because when it drove up on stage, he literally said, doesn't look like anything else, you know, which is like his whole point. It's like, it's different. I've seen a lot of opinions on this. It is you either like it or you don't, basically, you know. And there are a lot of people that do love it. They love the design of this thing. I will say that when I first saw it, I was like, this is ugly. This is terrible. As the days have gone on, it has grown on me a little bit. I don't know if it has grown on me enough to buy it, but it's...
I thought it'd be a lot more expensive than what it is.
Which is the thing that would get me to buy it. Because the only other competition for this truck in my mind is the Rivian R1T. Mm-hmm. Which, again, not sure if you're familiar with that at all. Mm-hmm. But it's basically... it's another... Rivian is another electric vehicle manufacturer. They are working on releasing their first two vehicles, the R1T and R1S, basically the truck and SUV, right? And it looks great. Their truck, they revealed it like last year, I think, and it looks phenomenal. But I think it starts at $69,000.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It is a very premium truck. But the Cybertruck, which I love how that's the official name. It's the Tesla Cybertruck. That's the name. Starts at like $39,000, I think.
And that's on the high end, even with compared to like the... like premium Prius, like that's around the $30,000 range or a little bit higher. So I'm like, and then there are some trucks that are even more expensive, or like the Hummers, like those are really expensive. Like, it's not a bad car to get financially if you got the money. You know, you also want to be eco-friendly, go for it.
Yeah. That's its biggest thing, I think, that it wins over. Like, it's got a lot of cool specs. So the $39,000 version only has 250 plus miles of range. They haven't released the exact numbers, which is pretty standard for most electric cars right now. And that's kind of like, yeah, you can get places, but you know, you really have to plan your route carefully because you need to be able to charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
It also has a lower towing capacity, lower 0 to 60, I think it's like 6.5, 6.4 seconds, 0 to 60, which isn't bad, but for like electric cars, normally it's like a couple seconds and that's it, right? But that price is the biggest thing. That's like, that's a good price, even on the low end. I think the design is extremely polarizing. I feel like if you buy this truck, you have to be prepared to be a bit
criticize.
Of a bit of a target. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Teslas are already targets from people, right? But like this truck is just like, you are going to be seen. Some people are going to love it. A lot of people are going to hate it. And I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing to think about. You know, like what are people going to think of me for buying this vehicle? Which, and obviously, I don't have the money to spend on a truck right now, but you know, it's a weird thought. The one thing I don't really like about it is the back. I don't mind how angular the design is. I think it's a little weird, but the worst part for me is the tailgate and the fact that the front end of it is beveled, right? Like it kind of goes and then there's an angle and then it's the front, but the back is just like it goes out and it's just a flat panel.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that design looks terrible for me. It looks very difficult to maneuver and like back out of places because you have no room for error. Like it's just, you're sticking out like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the best thing about the reveal though was they did a demo, and this is the thing that everyone talks about, because they wanted to demonstrate how durable this thing is. And so they literally took a sledgehammer and hit a normal car door, probably off of an F-150. And then they hit the door of the Cybertruck. Nothing happened. You know, like this is really strong steel. Apparently it's bulletproof, whatever. Then they move on to the glass test.
Oh, boy.
And they were demonstrating normal car glass. And so they had two panels set up. They had, like, lying flat on the ground. They had a normal car glass panel, and then they had their panel, and they were taking this like giant ball bearing and they dropped it on the car glass panel from like a really small height, and it shattered, you know, it cracked. And then they went on to the Tesla version and they dropped it, nothing happened, went higher, nothing happened, went like 12-20 feet up, dropped it, nothing happened.
Holy crap.
So then they're like, okay, well, let's really demonstrate this. So they took that ball bearing and they threw it at the truck on stage, the glass broke. And it was just like the most cringy thing ever. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, probably a bit too hard there. And then the guy who was throwing it, I think his name was Franz. People love this guy. He's like, well, should we do the other one, the rear one? And Elon's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And so he throws it at that one, shatters. So, poor demonstration. It was a live demo. And as I've heard many people say, glass is glass and glass breaks. So,
it makes me, if the glass is that durable, cool, especially for like car accidents, you know. But it's like, what happens when you crash into a river?
Well, so you actually bring up a good point. What I was going to bring up too was car accidents. This truck looks virtually indestructible, right? What happens in an accident? Like, not to the truck. What happens to the person that either hits you or mm-hmm. you hit? Like, are you basically obliterating the car? Like, if this truck hits this poor little smart car, this Fiat, I mean, what happens?
Dude, it's going to be, what is it called in the Nolan trilogy? The Range Rover or whatever for the Batman's car?
Tumbler.
The Tumbler. Yeah. There you go. I don't know why I said Range Rover. Man, dude, it's like, I hope people don't go off stealing these cars, because then when police have to do a chase, they're going to stop this thing. Like, it's going to be a fucking tank that's going as fast as, like, a, you know, just the modern car, you know, 60, 70 miles, you know, and it's like, fuck, we can't stop it. Get a bazooka.
Well, ideally, you can't break into it. So, I mean, unless you have a ball bearing.
Now you really got to shoot the tires on this thing.
Yeah. The thing with the ball bearing, though, I will say, is they said this, too, that they were... they've been throwing that ball bearing at the windows all day, like just testing it to make sure that wouldn't happen. And so naturally, things break.
Mm-hmm.
Like they get stressed, and over time they wear down. And so I imagine they've been throwing it at this truck, and then the onstage demo was just when it finally decided to break.
The breaking point.
Yeah, and he even showed on his Twitter like a video before the show of them throwing it at the window and it didn't break. So, you know, just live demo stuff. But it will forever be a meme. Elon Musk standing in front of his brand new truck with broken windows. It's great.
I mean, it's cool that it's able to last. You know, man, I just feel... Man, I think it's a cool car as a Mach, what is it, Mark 1 series, so to speak. You know, they start making more of these things. It's like improve. But man, I just wonder at the consumer level what's going to happen.
I think it looks like a prototype. And because it is a prototype. Like, they were driving people around in it, giving, you know, rides. And the steering wheel is like the very futuristic, like you hold it like this. There's no, it's not round. It's just two sticks essentially that, you know, you move like this, which I doubt they're going to have on the production vehicle because that's a safety thing. You know, I don't think they would allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And even like with the paint job or lack thereof, because it's just like the raw metal, it looked very unfinished. And
I wonder if it's Beskar.
What was that?
I wonder if the car's made out of Beskar.
Beskar. Oh, yes. That would be great. Let's do that. Let's get one. And then we'll put the Mandalorian like sigil on the hood of it. That'll be great. But anyways, I'm more curious like what this thing is gonna look like when it's released. Like after it's gone through approval by I think Department of Transportation, maybe, or whoever delegates, you know, what cars get, you know, get through and kind of what those regulations are. I'm curious what's going to look like, because I doubt it's going to look like it looks right now, because there's a lot of weird safety stuff. Like, I honestly, the angular design, I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about, you know, safety regulations, but like that could be a, like that tailgate area that I was talking about, the fact that it is basically just like a knife's edge, at least it looks like it, is that going to be an issue? Because if someone hits that, probably going to die. You know, mm-hmm. like if the vehicle is that strong, what happens, you know, to the other car? And how do you, is that really even safe? Because most vehicles, I think all vehicles have like a crumple zone, right? The front of the car is a crumple zone. It's designed to, if you hit something, it's going to crumple and mush in as a barrier, right? It's like a buffer before, you know, it gets to you, basically.
Yeah.
But if the vehicle is built, because it's basically an exoskeleton, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like a frame with the body on top. It is literally, that's the frame.
Like, the one thing that even my dad has always told me is, like, that's the thing with modern cars. Like, they're just crap because, like, any little hit will easily mess up your car. It's not like older cars where, like, there was, like, metal, not, like, plastic, so to speak. So it's like, I mean, it's definitely a safety improvement. If the truck can handle like so many blows like that and not a scratch or a dent, like damn, like that's a good thing for the operator at that point. If they get into an accident, they're fine. Sucks for the other person because their car's going to be more likely messed up and maybe even worse compared to this car, you know, just because of how durable the thing is.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, that whoever, like you said, the facilitates the approval of cars, they may have to rethink, like, okay, this car meets our standards, but now how is it compared to other cars out in the field where it's like if it crashes into something, is there going to be a statistic where like this car will actually cause more damage to other cars because of its durability? So now do they have to rethink, like, okay, maybe this car shouldn't be approved, or do they need to up the standard for other cars going forward?
Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens. Especially just, yeah, like, what happens if you hit someone? Also, like, this car has a granite countertop as a dashboard.
Oh, Lord.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Why would you do that?
It is basically, I'm not even kidding, it's just like, it looks like a slab of marble that is as a dashboard.
God.
As in, like, flat top. And then just knife's edge, like, angle. There's a little bit of a bevel, but it's not, like, you know, it's like a little rounded corner.
Okay, now
and then it's like a flat thing.
Now I don't know how I feel about driving this car.
Exactly. Because if you're a passenger in that thing and you get hit and your seatbelt fails and you fly forward and you're going to hit your head on that thing.
You might as be in a marble top kitchen.
Basically, like, I can't imagine that being a final design. It also just doesn't look that good. I'm sorry. I don't like it. But airbags too, like, how do you get an airbag in there? What, how does that whole system work? I don't know. Tesla and Elon Musk are really out there, and I think that's known at this point. They're doing their own thing. We'll see what happens. I'm interested. I think the tailgate is kind of cool because it goes down into like a ramp, basically. Mm-hmm. They did a whole thing where there is one more thing, you know, but wait, there's more. And they're like, we also made an ATV. And so they like drove out this electric ATV and they brought down the tailgate and brought, like, pulled out a big old ramp, basically like on the Razor Crest in the Mandalorian, just like the door coming down and then it extends out. And then they drove the ATV into the bed of the truck. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the more useful features, just not even just for ATVs, but the fact that you can now load stuff into the bed of the truck without having to, like, deal with that giant step up. You know, like, if you're moving big furniture, you have a ramp, and mm-hmm. that's way better than any other way of getting something into the back of a truck, you know. Also, a weird thing is that it has, like, an adjustable suspension, basically. So you can raise it if you're going off-road, and then you can lower it if you're just, like, driving on the street, you know, to get better mileage. So yeah, I think it's cool, and then I also think it's really ugly. I am everywhere with this truck. I don't know what to think. I need to see the final version before I'm like, okay, I could maybe consider getting that at some point, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I personally want to go electric, like, as soon as is feasible and realistic for me. I'm completely on board with that. I just need the right vehicle to do that. And
just get a Prius.
No. No, Dom. Do bad drivers buy Priuses, or do Priuses make bad drivers? This is a random comment I saw a while ago.
I never heard of that one, but okay.
Yeah, because don't you know, there's the whole thing about Priuses being terrible drivers? I mean, no?
I mean, I don't think I'm a terrible driver.
You don't drive a Prius, though.
Well, what makes them a bad driver?
Just how they drive. I mean, like, sometimes they're really slow. They're not, like, if you get behind a Prius, no offense to Brian, if you're watching this, if you get behind a Prius, they're not great. Like, 85% of Priuses probably that I've been behind, and maybe it's the stereotype, but have just been like, they're either going really slow, they don't seem to know what they're doing, they don't use their turn signal. It's like, they're not driving well. It's hard to describe. Like, you'll know it when you're behind a Prius.
So a while back, as you know, I was my wife and I were looking into getting a car, right?
Yes.
And we tested a Prius. It was like, I think a 2016, 2017 model. And I wonder if this particular feature is what's making them lazy drivers. I will call them lazy drivers, because there was like this auto detect system where it's like it recognizes when you're like in a lane and if you're about to go out of a lane. So it will warn you and it will subtly actually push you back if you have that auto feature on, or at least it will warn you. It will also warn you if you're too close to a car. So I think those auto features are just making the drivers just like, oh, the car's going to tell me if I'm going to hit something. So they just do that. I thought it was a nice feature, but I think that's why it's making them lazy drivers, because they're like, the car's going to tell me.
It's possible. And even just, I mean, it's a hybrid, right? And mm-hmm. so you want to probably try and utilize the electric driving as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And I believe after a certain amount of, I don't know the speed, but once you go over a certain speed, it kicks in the combustion engine, right? Like mm-hmm. it goes as a normal car, and it only uses the electric motor to basically start you up, right? But you probably want to ride that as long as possible, and then also if there's any like regenerative braking, right, to where when you slow down it recharges that battery, people probably want to take advantage of that. And so that's what causes people to go like really slow and kind of weird driving in Priuses.
Maybe. I mean, that's also, I was concerned or curious because I was like, wait, this car has more mileage in the city than it does on the freeway, but wait, isn't it the reverse? Then the dealer guy was like, oh, it's because the regenerative part, because every time you're stopping, it recharges the battery, so you're actually getting more miles out of it. I'm like, oh,
okay. Yeah, it's the same thing with like Teslas too. They get better mileage in cities, I believe. But that's going to do it for today. That was a half of it was Star Wars. The other half was other random stuff. That's
sci-fi cars.
Sci-fi cars.
Sci-fi medical stuff.
Yep. That sums us up pretty well. But thank you guys for watching episode 15 of the Digital Century Podcast. Check out the Mandalorian recap series that we're going to be releasing soon. Probably, like I said, within the next week or so. But that's going to be it for me. I'm Jeff.
This is Dom, guys. Take care.
We don't have a joke to tell you this week. We kind of
I couldn't find it.
We tried like a minute before the show. I was like, oh, wait, do you have a joke? Yeah,
there's nothing on Facebook.
Nope, but that's going to do it. See you guys later. Have a good day. Have a good life. Have a good noon and morning and wherever you are. You know, see you later.
See ya.
Oh, yeah, and then you can go check out our social at Digital Century C. Ah, I forgot to say that.
Almost.
Almost. So go and do that. Go and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and everything else. And okay, now we're leaving. Bye.
Bye.